It's Wednesday, November 15, 2017. This is Izzat Wanas, KBCRadio.com. Our dear listeners, everyone knows what ESL means. ESL means English Second Language. But have you ever heard about SSL? Here, first S refers to sign language, which could be second language for most of us. Our guest today is one of the specialists in American Modern Language, Professor Fernando Olis, the chairperson of Modern Language Department at Pierce College. Welcome, Mr. Fernando. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, sir. First, could you please tell us about yourself?
Yeah. Well, my name is Fernando, and I have been here at Pierce College for a few years now, more than a decade. I have been teaching a second language, Spanish, and the literature and culture classes here at Pierce College. And I'm the department, modern languages department chair.
Oh, great. When I hear modern language, my thoughts go to computer language. So is my thinking right, or what is the right meaning for modern language?
Well, you think it's not totally wrong. I think your thinking is right. In the sense that, yes, language, computer language is a modern language as well, right? Yeah. And why is it that the department is called the modern languages? It's the modern languages because Spanish, Italian, French, these are languages that come about in the Renaissance period. So anything that comes about and is a derivative from the Latin language may be considered as a modern language. An ancient language would be Greek. An ancient language could be Sanskrit. An ancient language could be is Latin, Armenian, and many other languages as well. So modern languages is considered to be those levels of communications of languages that are in use today and is part of our modern society.
Yeah. We know about body language and gestures, and what's the difference between them and the sign language?
Wow, body language and gesture is a common way of expressing oneself, and I think that is particularly dear to almost every single language and every single culture has their own gestures, even though they already have. In the spoken language, there are gestures that accompany that are cultural gestures, so that is part of any language. So the gestures, the manners, the movement of the hands, so even certain signals to mean something. For example, when you talk to an Italian, you go la pasta, moving the hand, the gesture of the hands going up like that. They're saying like how delicious the pasta is. So there's gestures and mannerisms and face expressions that come around. When using any particular language. I think this is much more emphasized, especially when we talk about American Sign Language, because we are dealing with a deaf community. We are dealing with a culture that uses only means of communication and the structure of the language, only signs. So in a way to put it more a way of having more of an understanding what that means. It's like the ancient languages as well. Like you think of hieroglyphics, for example, you're from Egypt, right?
Yeah.
You think of the hieroglyphics, and you know that a hieroglyphic, each hieroglyphic is an expression in itself. But the expression of that hieroglyphic may change depending on what it is accompanied with. Meaning that what is attached to it may change the meaning of that. So you have a picture, in a sense, that will convey an entire message. So we could have an American Sign Language. You could have an expression that may mean something, a house or an object, and that object is combined with different gestures of, let's say, a gesture of happiness. Then you will know that you perhaps live in a happy home. So the gestures accompanied with this sort of pictorial way of expressing yourself, plus the rules of grammatical structures, which are completely different and foreign, to the rules of the language itself. So if you speak American Sign Language, if you gesture American Sign Language, allow me to correct that. If you gesture American Sign Language, then you are at that moment expressing an idea, but not necessarily in the grammatical order that the English language requires: subject, verb, and a predicate, right? So yeah. You don't have, perhaps at that moment, you may have an absence of a verb or an absence of a pronoun. Because if I make a gesture like I am happy, all I'm doing is a gesture like this, but it doesn't necessarily mean I didn't put the personal pronoun I, nor the verb to be You just implicitly you know that I am happy. So you have to transliterate. You have to somehow translate that which you have seen in proper English grammar. So the American Sign Language community, it uses its own structures to communicate and express ideas in a different manner.
Yeah, structure like this, we have a hieroglyphy, and this sample for hieroglyphy letters with ABC. Yeah. Does sign language have the same structure?
Well, there are signs that mimic certain objects or subjects. You may make a gesture by raising your finger and doing this to mean I. I, right? Maybe by looking at this and looking at the head, maybe as a period on top of the.
Yeah.
So you have a gesture. You have a gesture that somehow symbolizes or is attached to a symbol that represents a word.
Yeah, but no letters like alphabet.
We do have the alphabet. The alphabet will be in English, because you also have to spell certain complications that may come around. For example, a particular name. Your name is
Azad,
for example. I don't have a sign for Azad, yeah. So I will have to spell it out. But you can go on spelling everything out, because it would be exhausting. So you have to refer. So you have to go back into using the language with symbols and letters at the same time. So if necessary to spell out, then you use the normal grammatical structures of the English language.
How to learn sign language and what its component?
And what is what?
Component.
Okay, so how to learn the language?
Yeah.
Well, it's basically to enroll in a class in ASL, American Sign Language. We have an incredible program here, and we have three superb teachers. Two of them are deaf, and one of them is not. But the three of them are superb in teaching the language, and there's a way of walking into the classroom, especially if the teacher is deaf, and immerse yourself in the language right away. And you will notice that when you immerse yourself, especially level one, ASL 1, American Sign Language 1, which is the lowest level, intuitively, you begin to pick up this second language acquisition without necessarily understanding the grammatical structure, because the purpose of language is to communicate ideas. So is the idea being conveyed efficiently and properly by using the particular signs? Can you understand what I'm trying to say when I'm saying something? So there's a lot of intuitive, and of course you gotta evolve and learn the particular gestures and motions, because one motion between one and the other, there could be very small, very subtle differences. So you have to make sure that you, if you do a motion like with your hand in this direction, that you don't do in this direction, because this could mean something else, and this gesture could mean something else. So there's got to be, so you have to learn those differences, and then you have to learn the proper way of signing as well.
Yeah. Does this classes or the beginning class is one of the like general education or?
Yeah, they're all general education because it's ASL 1 and 2, 3 and 4, and same as Spanish 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, and Italian and French and Japanese, which are the languages that we teach here at Pierce. Yes, you can. Those levels are transferable units. They are requirement fulfills requirements to transfer to either Cal State or UCLA. So they are part of the humanities requirement. It fulfills the IGETSI. If you know what that document is about, it's the agreement that we have with the UCLA to accept our courses as transferable courses and units.
Yeah. It's known that there is a different accent in any language. How does this work in sign language?
Well, when you talk about different accents, you're talking about accents because you're a foreigner, because I have an accent. Yes. I don't know if you noticed, but I have an accent in English. So, and you have also a peculiar accent as well because you are from Egypt. So I don't think there's no accent because of the absence of the speaking manner, but there are differences between American Sign Language and the sign language that is used in other countries and other communities. The sign that I may use to say thank you in Latin America, for example, in Latin America we have also sign language. I put my hands across and I may bring it to my shoulders and this will mean to me in Latin America thank you, right? But in American Sign Language you don't have this. Doesn't mean thank you in American Sign Language. In American Sign Language you the gesture is on with the palm of your hand and the tip of your fingers over your shin, so you go like you say thank you. So there are differences between. So when someone comes from a different country, and has been part of a deaf community, they will have to learn a second language. The language that is used for communication in American Sign Language is based on English. So it's basically you learning English as well because you're also spelling out and acquiring an alphabet that perhaps is not familiar to you. So if you think of Farsi, Egyptian, Arabic, you coming into, even though you may be deaf, you come here with your own sign language, you have to learn the language here and at the same time learn the particular alphabet that is used to spell out and communicate. So the in that sense, yes, there's a distinction between and you can tell that the person that may come from that may be deaf is from a different country because the signs that are used are not familiar to the deaf community here.
Yeah. I'm concerned about my deaf colleagues or friends in case in disaster situation. And what are the appropriate means to save or warning them? How do I... How do you think about this?
Well, I think there's the United States is very much aware of this of the deaf community. The deaf community has been acknowledged and validated, and we have incredible programs and even televisions nowadays. They have included certain rules and regulations to make sure that you are in compliance with the demands of a deaf community. For example, if you go to a class, you're deaf, but you go into a history class, the institution has to provide you with an interpreter so you can understand what your teacher is telling you. If I show a video in my class, I also have to provide you with captioning. I cannot show a video without captioning. Because those are federal laws. If you do not show that, then you're violating federal law. So the institution has to adhere to those rules and regulations and make sure that they are used throughout. In case of emergencies, we have a lot of the signing and the lighting is considered part of the process. The colleges also have to use not only for the but almost for all disabilities. There's got to be a sort of a compliance and making sure that even when we write emails, that the emails have somehow a font that is accessible and readable to those that may be even legally blind, right? That may be able to see, but there's certain characters and certain fonts that you cannot see. So you have to use a specific font so you can see it. So the institutions have to step up and be in compliance and making sure that they serve the students that are in special needs.
Yeah. Another topic I'm thinking about a lot, does the sign language is the same as other languages such as Arabic or Spanish? Does this, you mentioned to that before, mm-hmm. but I don't know. Is there any relation?
Well, the only relationship is that you share something in common, and that is a desire to communicate in the medium that is more accessible to you, right? So, when we think of is there any relationship or not? I think so, because even if you speak a different language and you come to this country, you immediately, because using your capacity and your capabilities to immediately understand our level of communication with the given language, in this case English, to express your ideas. Yeah. That is a basic understanding as to what you want to accomplish, you want to do. So you come in here and you're learning English and we begin to communicate. I'm beginning to understand who you are. I'm beginning to communicate with you and understand more or less your ideas, your social interaction and all of that, because we have chosen one common medium to communicate, one common language to communicate. So it works likewise when a deaf person comes from the community from another part of the world. Immediately it will attempt to associate himself or herself with someone of the same, with the same demands, and be able to establish a sort of communication. So it would be a learning curve for the person that is coming in into this culture to learn the language that is used nationally here in the United States.
Yeah.
Right? Because it doesn't have to be, I don't have to learn Arabic or Persian or Armenian to communicate, or use the Spanish to communicate with you. We can use the common language that is used here. And with my own community, I can use my own language. However, the common language of communication, it is established that is English, though. So the transition has to be is a learning process, and I think it's great that that deaf communities from other parts of the world can come and begin to incorporate and assimilate into this culture with the given mechanisms.
Yeah, if the student is not good in English, he is the second language English, and he's in a class like what you mentioned in history class or something like that, is there anywhere to simplify the sign language for, you know, like simplify that language as you can? Is there a way in sign language?
Well, I think that's a common problem. And I can say not only with simplifying the American Sign Language, but also we think about in terms of Spanish, Latin, or Italian, Japanese, whatever language you need to learn. One of the problems that we have sometimes is that the person that is learning a second language has no great foundation about their own language. So you have to have an understanding of your own grammatical structures. Do you recognize in your own language what is a personal pronoun? What is an adjective? What is a noun? What is a verb? So if you don't know that in your own language, how could I explain what that is in this particular language? And even worse, when we transition into American Sign Language, which is a transliteration, an interpretation, a transliteration of the signs into English. So you have to, my recommendation will be learn your language well, learn the structures that are the foundation of your language, and then compare it, because that's the phenomenon of learning the second language is always difficult, because you have to base the learning in a given structure, not the first language. The first language, you don't have to learn the structures, because you learn that from your mother tongue. You learn that from when you're a kid. No one is teaching you verb, subject, pronouns. No one's teaching you that, but you arranging this language in a very cohesive manner, right? Yeah. So the second language, you cannot do that. I mean, these are theories. I mean, these are great theories of linguists here in the United States. If you don't know about Noam Chomsky, but Noam Chomsky has, as a philosopher, a linguist that has come up with theories of how you learn a second language. So American Sign Language is a second language. English for you also is a second language. English for me as well is a second language. Right. So the mechanisms that I used to learn that had to be structurally based in something. But first, I need to know my own structures of my own language, so I can transfer that information in an easier manner.
Right. Right. It's known that the sign language is used to in lecture and visual media. So I have a funny question. Did you think about using sign language in the radio broadcasting?
Well, the radio broadcasting, since now we use the internet, the only way that could be added is by providing an interpretation of the material that has been spoken on the side, like a little window on the side. I know that you can listen to that, but you will have to have a visual aid in order for you to have an effective communication with that community.
There is already a visual.
I don't think there is that available, but that's something that, you know, could be thought about and see how is it that it can be addressed.
Yeah. Do you have anything to add or?
No. Anything you may want to know, we can have this conversation as very minimum to know in comparison to what we can discuss about it. We could use an hour or more, an entire semester, just to have a discussion as to the importance of learning a second language, and the importance especially of American Sign Language to serve a community that needs to be served to the best possible ability.
Okay, but as a chairperson for American Modern Language at Pierce, do you have any strategy for spread this sign
we
language?
We have actually, our program is growing in the last 5 years. We have hired 3 new full-timers. We have a career and technical component of the language, because you don't only study the language to transfer to another college, you also have an end goal to have a career as an interpreter. So we have also an interpreting program. People that are interested in American Sign Language, they continue their deaf studies at Cal State Northridge or to other universities. And then when they finish their bachelor's degree in those universities, they come back to Pierce, because Pierce College is the only college in the Valley area that has an interpreting program. And it's a very robust and very, very well-structured program.
Oh. Yeah. Great. This makes me proud of my college.
Yes.
Okay. My sincere thanks to you, Professor Fernando, for all the valuable information, with my wishes for permanent success of your administration. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Our dear listeners, as we are very close to the end of this semester, I'd like to invite you all to join the enjoyable broadcasting class, and I hope that you enjoyed with us as we enjoyed a lot talking to you. Thank you all. This is Ezzat Wellness, kbcradio.com.